Good morning, everyone, and welcome to not only a new day, not only a new week, but Thanksgiving week here at the Damage Report, where we reflect on the things we're thankful for, like the news, which is good for the country and good for our hearts and souls. Wouldn't you agree, Brett Ehrlich?
I couldn't agree more. I was listening, I was ready. I wasn't coming up with this awesome top 10 list of things that we'll do for tier 3 members later. I literally cleared my schedule for this today, so I will not have to also be on other meetings during this show, which I pulled a, I definitely pulled kind of a John move and forgot that I had committed to this. And then I had to move things around to accommodate.
I sent you the email last night.
Oh, you did plenty. You did everything right. I did everything wrong, but it will not affect today's show. I am here, I'm focused, I'm really jazzed for your first story because it's pretty much everything to me.
Well, I actually am a little bit surprised to hear that. It's a weird one. I'm mashing up. Nobody, I don't think, is gonna be mashing up the two things that I'm mashing up. I don't think. They probably won't care to, but I care, okay? I like the news. I'm glad that out of all of the topics in all of the world that you could talk about for a job, that we chose American politics, Brett. Anyway, but thank you for being here, everybody. To give you a little idea of what's gonna happen this Thanksgiving week, Brett is here today filling in. Thank you, Brett. Francesca is away for the week, and we won't have a Friday show, so this is the Brett that we get. Tomorrow we'll have Nina Turner. Wednesday we will have Big News Wednesday, and that'll be closing out the week for us. We do have content we'll be releasing to the channel, on those holiday days. But I will be doing my damnedest to not think at all about anything but pie and getting it in me. So anyway, that's gonna be my life.
Pie and whatcha?
Did you like that? That's a little early Thanksgiving treat for you, Brad.
It's like your
version.
It's
already being clipped out on Twitch.
John's version of the Cuomo's "Let's get after it" is getting it in me.
I think I should say that at least 3 or 4 times a show, I think. Anyway,
100%.
But anyway, we do have a lot that we're gonna be talking about on the show today, so don't go anywhere. We've got a lot of stuff, fun stuff. We've got some Karens. The last story is just this. This weird throwback to predictions about our era that I find fascinating. So I want to see if Brett is interested in that too. So nobody go anywhere. But if you do go somewhere, it should be down to the like button. Click that. You can share the stream. Let people know that we're live, and we'll be responding to your comments, tweets, super chats, all that as we go. And with that said, Brett, are you ready to talk about some news?
Very much so.
Okay. Well, then let's jump right into this video.
To a lot of folks in America, you come across as the cares about everybody but me party. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can find ways to stand up for these folks without being David Duke. This month, when the Democrats finally passed their big $1 trillion bill to rebuild our roads and bridges, 6 Democrats voted no because it didn't go far enough to address climate change, which I'm sure is true. What does? But this was free money from the federal government that would actually improve their constituents' lives. I can see a voter saying, you know, squad, I agree with you on climate change. But as long as it is happening, we also need money for getting the water pumped out of the subway. Can we do that before we build the workers' paradise?
So that is Bill Maher. From just a few days ago. And after months of the debates, very public debates about the infrastructure bill, his takeaway from it is that the squad didn't care about infrastructure enough, I guess. They wanted something vague that he could mock, this workers' paradise. They didn't care about the flooding of the subway. They didn't care about these sorts of things. And he used that to demonstrate his larger point, which is, Democrats are unpopular because they don't get America. Okay, he actually attached that video to this tweet saying, why are the Democrats still, who support so many issues that benefit the middle class, still considered out of touch by 62% of Americans? He threw in his hashtag woke is a joke because much of that 8-minute long video is about how the Democrats are too woke. And by that, he means that any anecdotal thing that's happening literally anywhere in the country that the right talks about, the Democratic Party is responsible for. AOC is responsible for whatever apocryphal comment a teacher supposedly made in a small town in Kansas. Now, AOC spent the week talking about the potential threats to the Democrats in the midterms. She's gonna go in a very different direction. So in this block, we're gonna be contrasting these two takes on what the Democrats need to do to succeed. But first, Brett, I wanna give you a chance to jump in.
So I watch all of Bill's speech in that, and he has everything he needs to solve this puzzle.
Yep.
But he just doesn't see it. He in that same block, his monologue or whatever, he says that Amy Klobuchar was on his program and he told Amy Klobuchar that she is failing the messaging battle against Republicans, and Amy Klobuchar is so clueless that she then goes in a very like, I'm quite, you know, very as funny as, you know, Garrison Keillor used to be. She says, well, you wanna be one too? You wanna be our messaging czar?
He took that seriously.
The left, he took it seriously, but like, he's right. The left has nobody messaging effectively. What he doesn't understand, his blind spot, is that he has bought into all the counter messaging, or I guess like the messaging that's happening on the right. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they've found a way. He doesn't realize it. He's not smart enough to figure that out. But they've found a way to message to him. When he says the "we care about everyone but you" party, he is talking about himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand, and he's not really self-aware enough to understand that there's other people other than him out there. And I totally take your point that, you know, AOC is not responsible for all the messaging that's happening. But I will say that the Democrats are good at messaging against Democrats. Yes. That whole frame, everything you saw Bill Maher mention about subways in New York was taken from one article, not written on Common Dreams or TYT or some crazy thing, some, you know, bubbled off thing, but from the New York Times. The article is called "Ocasio-Cortez Isn't Wavering, Are New Yorkers on Her Side?" He is absolutely wrong when he talks about why they voted no. He's wrong.
He has all of the information, as you said, that he needs to have to know why they did that. So he's either like insanely ignorant, or more likely, he's just lying because he doesn't support them. To come out of all of this and say the ones who are standing between people who need help and that help are the progressives is an insane thing to say, unless you are an old rich guy with old rich guy positions. And that's what he has. And we're supposed to believe that because he had an HBO show that, like, I guess he's different than Manchin or whatever.
But I agree with him that what you just said doesn't help the goals of the left.
Well, here's what doesn't help the goals of the left or the Democratic Party. Living your life like Bill Maher, where he came from the 80s into the 90s, where the Democrats learned to be terrified of and always responsive to literally anything the right says about them, and to cede whatever territory is necessary. Start bailing out all of your positions because the right might criticize them. And that is how you should live. And whatever is left over at the end, which coincidentally is almost always giving the rich what they want, I guess that's all we can afford. And
right,
he says there, you have to learn to stand up for these folks without being David Duke. Look, it is very easy for this incredibly old white man to jettison all of these concerns and pretend that they're not important, to believe that the only identity politics that should be allowed and that he's saying should be allowed to be the status quo is white identity grievance politics.
Right.
But anyway, I don't want to get into it. Yeah, we got to read the AOC stuff. My point is, he still wants the debate to be about wokeness. He's the one that's talking about that. AOC is not talking about that. AOC is talking about infrastructure. He is the one that wants to play on the battleground of the right while not only accepting their talking points, but spreading them themselves. He has spent years now mocking these sorts of concerns. And then at the end in that video, he says, well, if this is so popular, you know, if it's so common sense, so rational, why do people have negative opinions of it? Dude, you've spent years messaging against it. So anyway, to pretend that he's some sort of objective source for information on this is absurd. Now, to demonstrate my point that she is not doing what he says she's doing, this is what she has had to say about the last few months and about the electoral future that we're looking towards. I think that if we pass the Build Back Better Act, as the House passed it, that we have a shot to go back to our communities and say we delivered. But that's not to say that this process has not been demoralizing for a lot of folks, because there were enormous promises made. And this is where I have sounded the alarm, because what really dampens turnout is when Democrats make promises that they don't keep. Ocasio-Cortez specifically pointed to a bunch of money in the bipartisan bill, including to get lead pipe remediation done. They cut a ton of that. They're continuing to fund the fossil fuel industry. She says that a lot of the promises will not now be made good on because of centrists. And what I would say is, Bill Maher is pointing to a major drop in popularity of Biden from the beginning of the year to now. His argument is that it's the wokeness thing. But the issue is, the electorate threw out the Democrats and replaced them with Trump, presumably because the left had been too wokey or whatever. But then they voted in Biden, and now they don't like Biden. Is that because he wasn't woke 9 months ago and now he is woke? Is that the only thing that's happened through 2021? Or is it possible that AOC's analysis, that they came in, they were put into power in the White House and in the Senate, making specific policy promises? And the message that has been fairly clear, if the process might have been muddled throughout this year, is that, I don't know, a bunch of corrupt Democrats stalled, nothing really seems to be getting done. I hear that they keep cutting stuff out. Which is more likely to explain the drop in popularity through 2021? Vague stuff about wokeness, or the possibility that he's not doing the things he said he would do?
Right, and the success of the messaging that Biden is a radical socialist woke psychopath. That's it. The ability of the right wing messaging sphere to, as you say, you know, to convince Bill Maher that woke culture is responsible for fill in the blank, when really nothing's happened. Mm-hmm. Really nothing's happened. And he said that Biden's approval rating did not succeed in his, this is the longer Bill Maher thing, despite giving checks to people in the pandemic. But he was more popular back then. That you agree to that.
That's a great point,
Bill Maher. You absolutely said if his approval rating's down since then, it was up back then.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's 100%. I totally agree with you on this. The left just doesn't have anyone going out there. But what the right has done, and what mainstream media has done, and this is something that Bill Maher, I think there should be. You gotta win Bill Maher. What he doesn't understand is that Trump being an a-hole alienated, you know, that like culture war thing, alienated centrist Democrat Republican independents in suburbs, and they were like, I'm either not supporting Trump or I'm voting for Biden. But you can't deny that a lot of this push toward giving people what they need and want in real America, there's a huge divide between the liberal elites and the people on the left who are in unions and fighting for workers' rights. But they just I don't know, but it's very frustrating. Bill Maher is out there being this guy who thinks that he is the only voice out there speaking for like decency, when he completely forgets the fact that this whole push that he's against motivated people to turn out en masse in Georgia to vote against Trump that hadn't before. So at the end of his argument, he says you gotta grow the electorate. The Democrats did with talk like this.
Well, and look, if your case is going to be that wokeness, these concerns, like he specifically says, like you don't get to call yourself a liberal if you teach kindergartners that they're the oppressors, which is, you know, AOC talks about that constantly, the kindergartners are the oppressors, that they've gone too far in these racial concerns, that they should abandon the racial language, which is, again, is convenient for him to say. Then why exactly did they throw out the Republicans in the White House and the Senate after literally months of pervasive racial justice protests around? Like, if you wanted to make the Republican case that America's gone crazy, the left has gone crazy, okay, well, from their perspective, we did that for months in cities around the country, and they threw out Trump and they threw out the Republicans. They literally handed two Senate seats in Georgia to the Democrats following all that woke nonsense. But anyway, I want to get into this next super yeah. fast then.
Just the question for Bill Maher is like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? Because the answer's got to be policies that help Americans. And that's why I say he has everything he needs in his argument. He thinks it's just roads and bridges. It's not paid family leave, lower prescription drug prices, all that stuff. Yeah. That's all that we want. So let's just, Bill, I'm with you. Shake my hand and let's go forward and message.
He wants to talk about cancel culture. That's what he wants to talk about.
That's how they win Bill Maher.
Okay, Bill Maher has more to say specifically about AOC. Take a look at this.
James Carville knew how to win, and he blamed the Democratic losses this November 2nd on stupid wokeness, to which AOC fired back that wokeness is a term almost exclusively used by older people these days. So that should tell you all you need to know. What? This is a term folks like you brought out very recently. And had been proudly displaying it every March since. Just last year, The Guardian declared woke the word of our era. I guess they didn't get the memo from the Mean Girls Club. We don't use that emoji anymore. Woke, please, we say fetch now. What a great strategy, never missing an opportunity to remind voters how lame and clueless and hopelessly uncool they are, especially since those are the ones who actually vote. But okay, fine. What word would you like us to use for the plainly insane excesses of the left that are not liberalism, but something completely different? Because you can't have that word liberal from us and think it should cover things like canceling Lincoln and teaching third graders they're oppressors. That's all your new thing.
Again, that is not their new thing. That's stuff that Breitbart and Ben Shapiro have farmed from some third grade teacher in one town and has tried to make you think that's the whole left. And Bill Maher's like, yeah, no, that is. Because he's not that left. And first of all, they're not claiming that they're liberals. Like seriously, he is stuck in this 90s mentality and believes that whatever positions we had there were perfectly fine. And whatever ignorances I have culturally in terms of religion, in terms of race, I never need to get better. Ignorance is fine. Whatever way you've evolved on, however, first of all, he thinks he's more in tune with what diverse communities around this country believe. He's been for decades a wealthy guy who lives in LA and doesn't talk to anyone who doesn't write for the New York Times or host a show on Fox News. And she's not saying any of the things that he's saying. He honestly can't even keep up with a congresswoman, let alone regular Americans.
I was there in a room with Bill Maher as he was telling, you know, just talking to his hair person. I fulfilled things on Bill Maher's rider to fly to Sundance, where he had specifics about his like private jet and what kind it needed to be, how much weed needed to be on board his jet, which I thought was cool at the time. Like this dude won't fly with other people to Sundance to do his special show in 2004. Like I know that he knows he's the elite. He's the guy who brags about like, I dropped a million bucks for Obama. Like he knows who he is and what he is. And the whole point about like James Carville knowing how to win. Here's how James Carville won. Literally by saying, it's the economy, stupid. That's it. And saying, I'm not folk. And at the time, George H.W. Bush was like, I want to make this about character. And then Bill Clinton did that. And then also, we can't deny it, H. Ross Perot showed up and siphoned a ton of conservative votes away from Bush. So don't give me that I know how to win thing. And that the winners on the left have benefited from a lot of like externalities. And then also the last thing I'll say is there are a lot of unforeseen things showing up. And definitely when Biden won, I think it was a mix of what you said, but also COVID. People were mad and frustrated with the economic downturn in COVID. And that's why I there's this rhetorical device I use when I'm being nice. And I hate that I have to do it, but there's a way to say it, which is I'm glad, I think you're wrong, but I'm glad that's what you're wrong about. It's the nicest way I can say it. I'm glad what he's wrong about is that he wants people to message and stop being elitist. Because that's common ground, because that's your perception of me and my perception of you. Let's work together and get through it and find a way to message to real human Americans that actually benefits their life.
I would say even the COVID thing gets a little bit difficult because they turned that into a massive culture war thing on the right.
Well, that's all they could do, but it didn't work at the time. And they didn't give up. Well, they knew they couldn't win on economic issues. They're trying to make this, as we'll talk about later, this about inflation.
Yeah, and my
they would if they could. They always used to.
They push tax cuts.
Well, no, I'm just saying by and large, in the 90s, if we're talking about a 90s political mentality, the 90s political takeaways that they enshrined into political thinkers at the time was you gotta play to your strengths. And the perceived strengths of Republicans at the time, all the way through to very recently, is Republicans were better by and large on economic issues. And Democrats were better at cultural issues. And now those tables, sure, if Democrats know what's good for them, will turn and have turned.
I think that people have had multiple cycles now of what it is economically that Republicans do when they get into power. And I think it's a little bit harder for them to try to make that case. And I think that they've stopped trying to make it. What I would say is my lesson integrating Bill Maher and AOC is that the right is always going to pluck up nonsensical culture war things and try to make politics about that. They've been doing it forever. They talk about cancel culture now. Back in Bill Maher's day, when he was only 50 in the 90s, it was political correctness. It was the exact same thing. They will always think that the left is too radical on matters of race and sexuality and those sorts of things. That is not a variable, that is a constant. The question is, will the Democrats just be weaker, less appealing to emotion versions of Republicans, which nobody's gonna vote for? Or are they going to deliver something? Delivering does not guarantee that they stay in power, but it seems like the only option they have. And as Brett pointed out, when he was popular, it's when he was promising things and seemingly delivering on at least a little bit of it. That's my takeaway. And again, AOC and the squad are the ones that are trying to make Biden deliver. They're trying to make that happen. Notice how little criticism Bill Maher had. He had one quick aside to Joe Manchin. But Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema seemingly are not a big issue from Bill Maher's point of view. The fact that they are directly stopping Biden from delivering on his promises wasn't worth much of a mention in that 8-minute monologue. In any event, we do have to take a break. We come back, we're gonna be talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, Tucker Carlson, and all that nonsense after this. Because to finalize that, it isn't that we're trying to get him into the tent. He's in the tent, he's trying to rule the tent. That's what he's trying to do. He's saying, I'm here, it's my way, it's not their way. It's not the young new generation of Democrats. My way from the 90s, literally, you know, we're gonna pluck political strategists from 92. Their way is the way.
Right, and that way.
I think that's a losing strategy.
I think a losing strategy, I think a winning strategy is to give him a different enemy other than presenting him as the enemy.
Sure. Well, but again, the point of that block was not to persuade Bill Maher. I mean, that's a laudable goal.
No, I like that we have these discussions. We're smarter than everyone.
Obviously, I think that is coming through loud and clear. Okay, with that, let's jump into something else that we're really smart on. Let's watch this.
Well, everybody there, what happened? I said I had to do it. I was just attacked. I was dizzy. I was vomiting. I couldn't breathe. This case has nothing to do with race. It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense.
Right.
I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody.
Okay, so there you saw Kyle Rittenhouse in his little special interview with Tucker Carlson, more of which will be coming tonight. So buckle up for that. The fun thing about this is that Tucker Carlson, who loves to occasionally talk about how dishonest the media is, sometimes he'll even have on former liberals to talk about how dishonest the rest of the media is, was producing all of this embedded with Kyle Rittenhouse throughout the trial. while doing shows talking about how Kyle Rittenhouse was obviously innocent and should be let off, while generating footage that would be produced into something that had a financial beneficial impact on Tucker Carlson because of the relationship he was benefiting from, and never once admitted that that's what he was doing. I cannot think of anything more fundamentally dishonest. Like, he's an opinion guy. He could have just said, tonight we're gonna be talking about Kyle Rittenhouse. Oh, by the way, I'm producing a documentary with Kyle Rittenhouse. He chose not to do that. And Kyle Rittenhouse, by the way, chose to do all of this with Tucker Carlson, with all of what Tucker Carlson is. And so you can take from that whatever you want about Tucker Carlson and his ethics, or about Rittenhouse and his claims to be in no way a racist person. He is certainly choosing an interesting media figure to allow to sort of generate the first post-trial impressions he's gonna make on the country.
Yeah, I mean, I see that you have a lot prepared for this, and I agree with the framing and everything. And just know in the back of your mind that we will get to a point in this conversation where we discuss how even Kyle's lawyer is trying to tell him, buddy, stay away from these people. You need to go back. And I will say that people like Tucker Carlson, very much disingenuous, always angling for some kind of supremacy of white people, and also supremacy of himself in this new world that he's, new world order he's trying to create, where there is there are fascist populists who try to snow leftist populists into and try to trick them into getting into this unholy alliance that will result in the loss of freedoms for everybody who isn't a certain type of way. Let's put it that way. And so have that in the back of your mind. And the only person talking sense that I have heard even tangentially related to this entire Rittenhouse trial, against all odds, is Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyer, who's saying that everyone trying to grift off him, especially Tucker, is a psychopath and he needs to stay away from them. And that makes the Republicans, the right wing media, completely complicit in ruining a family, the Rittenhouse family, and turning him into like this weird Scott Baio, Ricky Schroeder, future toxic, radioactive child star who will absolutely have severe issues and whose life will be ruined after he blows through all the money, because obviously he has no guidance at home giving him any kind of moral or decency compass.
And we incorporate that when we say that obviously it would be better for literally everyone if he just had not gone to Kenosha. Yeah. But that is not a position that everyone can agree on. As Steven Crowder was talking about, like, don't you dare as a right winger imply that he shouldn't have been there or that there was anything wrong about this. They not only love the application of the law, they love the situation, they love the outcome. And again, they're celebrating him, but he is just a tool. He's a means to an end. If this wrecks his life, they're not gonna shed any tears for that. It's not actually about Kyle Rittenhouse. But you've been bringing up the lawyer thing. So if we could jump ahead, Brandon, to that last video of the Rittenhouse lawyer talking about what he thinks about this case.
Word that you guys had a film crew embedded with you from Fox News, from Tucker Carlson. I want to know why that decision was made.
I did not approve of that. I threw them out of the room several times. They were, and I'm not suggesting that Fox or some other network. I don't think a film crew is appropriate for something like this.
That seems like the most reasonable thing, Brett.
Madison Cawthorn, Paul Gosar, Matt Gaetz, Steven Crowder, all Candace Owens, they're all angling, in addition, Tucker Carlson, are all angling to have Rittenhouse involved. Here is what that same lawyer told Business Insider, I guess Insider now. Quote, they're raising money on it, and you have all these Republican congressmen saying, come work for me. They want to trade on his celebrity, and I think it's disgusting. Donald Trump Jr. retweeted some kind of proposal from a gun rights organization to send Kyle Rittenhouse a AR-15 as a reward for killing those people and using it in Kenosha. And Richards told Insider about Donald Trump, quote, he's an idiot. I don't have to expand on that because it speaks for itself.
Yeah, 100%. Look, this is all grift. The media apparatus is a grift, the Tucker Carlson stuff is a grift. And again, it isn't even about Rittenhouse. And Rittenhouse's stuff about it having absolutely nothing to do with race and he supports BLM or whatever is like the most like shallow version of those comments. The idea that it has nothing to do with that, like, come on, that's ridiculous. And it doesn't matter that he killed white people. He went to a racial justice protest. I mean, like, do we need to point this out? I understand that there are like lizard brain people in the chat that aren't going to get that or whatever, but
yeah,
I mean, and he's going on Tucker Carlson. Like, yeah, come on,
people say it, and I will say explicitly, we have the ocular proof of Kyle Rittenhouse throwing up a white power sign. I don't know what else I need to do when he's hanging out with Proud Boys and flipping the okay at everybody. That is a white power sign. So anyone, Candace Owens is saying that he needs to spend the rest of his life till he's 96 years old suing people for defamation for calling him a white supremacist. Well, I hate to tell you, that went out the window, that legal argument, when Kyle Rittenhouse threw up a white power sign. It's over.
That was only like 3 years into occasional national conversations about that being a white power sign.
And he's 100%. He's not like a thumbs up or this. He throws it in a very obvious way.
Yeah. And by the way, your willingness to go to a racial justice protest and kill white people who are demonstrating on behalf of that is not the argument against you being a white supremacist that some in the chat might think that it is. I get it. He is perfectly willing to be violent towards white people. The video of him beating that girl from earlier, I believe she was a white girl. So he'll beat white girls, he'll shoot white men. I get that. That does not mean that he's awesome in terms of race. Anyway, let's move on to the other aspect of this. Tucker Carlson not only has done his recent project with Kyle Rittenhouse, but also produced that Patriot Purge thing, which is basically just taking the whole shtick of Alex Jones and glossing it up a bit and putting it on Fox News. And that has had some consequences for Fox News. Not for Tucker Carlson, to be clear, he'll only be paid more, but a few of their longtime commentators have resigned in protest over that. So you have, Steve Hayes, Jonah Goldberg put out an open letter saying, Fox News still does real reporting and there are still responsible conservatives providing valuable opinion and analysis. But the voices of the responsible are being drowned out by the irresponsible. A case in point, Patriot Purge, a 3-part series hosted by Tucker Carlson. Jonah Goldberg said about that, it's basically saying that the Biden regime is coming after half the country and this is the war on terror 2.0. It traffics in all manner of innuendo and conspiracy theories that I think legitimately could lead to violence. That for me and for Steve was the last straw. They don't really delineate the previous straws, but understand that along the way, Jonah Goldberg wrote this book, Liberal Fascism, with the little happy face with the Nazi mustache. And so, you know, he tolerated a lot along the way. He said and did a lot along the way. I guess everybody has their limit though. But anyway, they said that they stayed with Fox because they believe that post-Trump, Fox could recover some of its independence and right the ship. But Patriot Purge was a sign that people have made peace with this direction of things. And there's no plan, at least, that anyone made me aware of for a course correction, which I would say for all of the other insane views that Jonah Goldberg has had, seems fairly accurate about Fox.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what else to say other than you're right. And that is the correct interpretation of events. You know, I watched some of the Tucker Carlson original about what's his name, about Kyle Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. And there's a shot. It starts with a video of Kyle sleeping, which is really creepy. Good job, QAnon people. You're behind a whole network that's filming minors sleeping. Anyways, he wakes up, he looks at a cross on his wall. There's like a specific shot of a cross on a wall. Who knows if this is his house or wherever his hotel room that he's sleeping in. But I don't think there's a cross on a wall. And then when it says not guilty, like the, you know, Leni Riefenstahl cuts to a montage of like all the moments when he was thinking about, you know, all of the the terrible things that happened to him as the triumph of the will. I mean, it's triumph of the Kyle is what they're going for.
Exactly. So we get an idea of what these Tucker Carlson productions are going to be like, the glorifying the vigilante violence, which, again, at least he is being consistent. Tucker Carlson spent months and months trying to get people to go and do what Kyle Rittenhouse did, trying to convince them that they were about to be pulled out of their beds by sometimes explicitly a black mob coming for them. Then somebody did it. And to be fair, he's sticking with one of those individuals. On this other thing, the Patriot Purge, it's just madness that, you know, a mainstream media outlet put together something that called the January 6th, just a false, it might be a false flag. I mean, we're just asking questions. It might be a false flag. I mean, sure, you know, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of people that have been arrested that are in jail right now that have been crazy Trump fans that went there. They're on video doing it. But maybe the whole thing was just totally invented. And maybe Biden is going to hunt down and kill conservatives, maybe. Like, this is, that would have been like a big project for Alex Jones a couple of years ago. And now it just appears on Fox. And because it's on Fox, it's considered normal. And that is how Fox has devolved. They actually fired Glenn Beck back in the day for some of the stuff that he said. They eventually fired Bill O'Reilly. They're worse than they were in the days of Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck. They're more conspiratorial, more insane, more openly basing their politics around white identity politics. And he, of course, is like the nexus of that at Fox. Okay, now, I think you found this to be a little bit funny. So let's jump ahead to a quick little bit on this. Glenn Youngkin won his election to become the next Republican governor of Virginia just a little bit ago, actually. And that was a huge cause for celebration on the right. And now the celebration appears to be over and the backlash has begun against Glenn Youngkin. Some of them are already turning on him. Over the past week, this is the Daily Beast reporting, over the past week, outrage has bubbled over amongst right-wingers and Trump world allies alike who are under the impression Glenn Youngkin has insufficient MAGA loyalty, despite Trump like claiming total credit for getting him elected, citing his hiring of an LGBTQ staffer and his refusal to block COVID-related local mandates. Just if you want to get an idea of the current state of the right, simply hiring someone who's LGBTQ is going to cause them to question you and your loyalty. So he has a new press assistant, Joshua Maron Mora, and a writer for the Claremont Institute talking about this said, so Youngkin chose a guy with pronouns in his bio to do his comms, who also served on the Georgetown Latinx Leadership Forum and supports virtually everything Youngkin's voters voted against. I don't know what evidence he has of the supporting everything they voted against. That is at least, it's vague, but in theory, it's a substantive critique of this individual. The other critiques are he has something in his Twitter bio and he was on a Latinx leadership forum. Remember, this is the party that's like, no, we're gonna get Latino voters to vote for us. No, if you organize, if you're even involved with those voters, you don't deserve a job, seemingly, from their point of view.
These are the moments where I just go, your words. So for all the Bill Maher's out there who are like, stop calling these voters X, Y, and Z. It's like, this guy is saying the reason, and this is a Bill Maher thing. This is not, I would say, evaluate it for yourself whether this is cancel culture, but I'm just pointing out that the reason this guy hates the comms director, whatever this official is within the Youngkin administration, the reason he hates him is the reasons he listed. And those listed reasons are, it seems like he's part of the LGBTQ community. And that's what this dude thinks his voting block is all about. So Bill Maher, you tell me, and I honestly think, like, and I know I'm using Bill Maher, but he's representative of folks that have glommed onto cancel culture because people don't laugh at their jokes and just go like, you tell me what you want to do in that situation. That's an earnest question. What do we do? What do we say? And then I'll come back at you with the, aren't you trying to cancel these people who are just communicating their feelings about the LGBTQ community? And then also, like, what do you suggest we do about it?
What if, okay, if putting a phrase in your Twitter bio should presumably result in you losing a political job, How can you describe that from the point of view of the person doing the firing or the not hiring as anything other than, I guess it was politically incorrect? It was incorrect to do that politically, but they don't like political correctness and all of that. And but they literally will stop you from being hired if you put key in your Twitter bio.
But I mean, that's what Bill Maher will roll his eyes at. He's like, you're making it so hard for us. It's like, well, buddy, what do you want? What's your approach? Because as in Bill Maher, he took someone else's approach. He didn't come up with his own. He allowed BS framing to dictate the conversation. And in this, I just don't know what to do. You're going to glom onto someone using their pronouns? Because I got a feeling that's not what they have a problem with.
Yeah.
It's not that they listed their pronouns or whatever. It's, which is just a way to be nice to people. It's
race
and gender. Call them that's by their name.
Exactly. No, and look, he could come to grips with the fact that political correctness and cancel culture are not what the narrative wants you to believe they are. They, in fact, are terms that could be applied to how some of every type of person responds to things they don't like. But Bill Maher is like most political comedians since Carlin, like terrified of not being able to say something. And so he can't grapple with that. He accepted the narrative on political correctness in the 90s. He accepts it wholly on cancel culture now. And so just give in. Don't try to fight back. Don't point out that the right does the exact thing they supposedly criticize. No, spend all of your time criticizing AOC for something a different person she's never met has said.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're also mad because Youngkin isn't strong enough against mask mandates or vaccine mandates or whatever. They're calling him, it's another rhino alert. Like, it was like a week ago. He just got elected, you madman. I don't know what do you want him to, like, suck the vaccine, like chelation for everybody in Virginia to remove the vaccine in a week?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't know. I apologize. It's really getting to me. I'm verklempt. Anyway, okay. So I have to take a break. Okay. When we come back though, at the weirdest time possible, Trump allies are trying to convince him not to run. We're going to take a look at that. And Trump wears a costume, so that's going to be fun. We have that for you after this. Thank you, everybody who's watching. If you haven't already hit the like button, please do that. That would be nice as we launch into our next story. Let's keep it real. Donald Trump is almost certainly going to run for president in 2024. It's also a couple of years away. I guess then that makes this kind of the last period where if you're on the right but don't want Trump to run, you might be able to get through to him. I think it's kind of a waste of time, but some are doing their best. According to new reporting from The Atlantic, there's this former campaign advisor for Trump who's anonymously saying that they're going to Trump and trying to convince him using the example of Adlai Stevenson, who lost twice in a row back in the 1950s, that it's just too risky. You already lost once. If you lose twice, you're gonna look like a loser. And that advisor is not the only person who is trying to put some pressure on him. Newt Gingrich, former House Speaker and a Trump ally, said, I don't think he wants to risk losing twice. Once, you can argue about the outcome. Twice, it becomes a repudiation, which is so limited in his thinking, he can claim it was stolen again. Anyway, John Bolton, who definitely has Trump's ear now, said, I think he knows deep inside, although he will never admit it, he did lose in 2020 and very much fears losing in 2024, because if he hates anything in the world, he hates being called a loser. And so, Brett, I think that that's like, some of them don't like him and don't want him to run. But for those who would want him to win but don't think that he could, isn't this a weird time? I mean, Biden's approval rating has gone down. The Democrats are kind of in chaos. They've you know, taken over the world with Let's Call Brandon and critical race theory. Why would they be scared of him winning now of all times? They've done all their voter suppression and stuff.
Like, I love Let's Call Brandon. I think
did I say Let's Call Brandon?
You said Let's Call Brandon, but I like it. Brandon, let's go.
Hey. Whatever it is, mine is better, honestly. I'm gonna make a t-shirt. Let's call Brandon.
Sounds like you're having fun.
Is he MAGA? I don't know. Anyway, isn't this a weird time though to be scared?
It's not scared, is my argument. They're not scared.
What do you think it is?
Are you talking from Trump's perspective or from like what's no, no, going like through
the,
Newt
the
Gingrich?
The Trump advisors, Bolton. Like I, Bolton, I don't Listen. Think cares about Trump. I'm saying those who would want him as president, but think,
they
oh
don't.
God, you'll lose again. You don't think any of
they
them
don't
do.
Want him as president. Otherwise, they would okay, convince make him to run for president.
Okay.
They don't. So, from their perspective, they don't want Trump involved in politics. They want him out. He is yeah. a wildly successful politician who was able to completely galvanize the base of the party. If they can win without him, because he is that wild card, they would rather do that. Yeah. And then when we pull quotes, we're pulling from Newt Gingrich, who is like an idiot, like the smartest idiot in the world. Newt Gingrich, who is probably jealous because he wanted to be that kind of a person. John Bolton, who is aggrieved by Trump. All these folks just want him to get out. Now, from Trump's perspective, I think these are good arguments to communicate to Trump because you don't want to be a loser. So Trump will walk that line between thinking that. Because Trump's going to make his own decision based on polling and potential for winning.
Yeah.
Because he definitely, the through line for him, his desire is to still stay in front of cameras that are pointed at him.
Sure. Maybe there are easier ways.
And losing, and it's possible in Trump's mind, if he can deny that he lost an election publicly for many, many years and go to bed at night, fine, happy that he's never lost an election in his mind. I mean, that's the pathological side of it. If you can get through to him that he lost and he knows that he lost and all that, and it's just a denial, then maybe not. But I just think that, you know, if he thinks he's winning as long as people are talking about him and he's in the discussion. And if he can get around the I am not president by saying he won an election that did not result in him being president, like he did it once, who's to stop him from doing that? And the only thing that they're appealing to, which is, bro, you are going to be a loser, and even you are not pathological enough to deny that.
Yeah, I wouldn't underestimate him in terms of how pathological he is. Yeah. By the way, someone in the chat was like, "Who are you going to call, Joe Brandon?"
That's funny.
Let's make that a shirt. Anyway, you're talking about Trump being a loser. He has had some wins. He's been honored, actually, in a way that I've never been honored. So Kukuwan, also known as World Taekwondo Headquarters, home of the World Taekwondo Academy, has just awarded former US President Donald Trump a ninth Dan black belt, the highest level attainable by professional martial artists. And it is a high honor. You can see in Trump's face that he's very happy about it. That's his fighting stance. And I don't even think he needs to take the test. I think you just assume that he has the skills. He has those moves. I think that he's earned it, Brett. What do you think?
So cool. That's how you fight.
That's fair.
You can tell
that's
the guy
also
next.
Also, how he dances. To be fair.
So stupid.
By the way,
ridiculous.
He said, "I'm gonna wear this outfit to Congress if I'm elected to the White House again." And so I was telling the production meeting, that's a combination of two things. One, it's like I'm gonna be in martial arts attire. I'm like a tough guy. I'm gonna be like ready to fight. The other is, continuing to make a mockery of our way of life, our society, our civilization, our government, all of that. To that threat, though, I say, do it. Come on, I want.
Absolutely.
Please do the State of the Union.
Just those moments where you like. This photo should go down in history along with every photo of John Kerry doing anything. Like him crawling in the Dr. No outfit out of a nuclear reactor and windsurfing.
Uh-huh.
And then Dukakis is in the tank where he looks like a rivet.
He also simultaneously looks like a Madame Tussauds wax figure there. And I hope that the eventual one he gets from Madame Tussauds is exactly that. I have no edits. Don't change a thing. Just I want to see you in front of Speaker Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wearing that exact outfit. Anyway, thank you everyone for tuning in to the first hour of the Dan Rich Report. Don't worry, don't go anywhere. We got more. If you're on our linear platforms, we appreciate you watching. Thank you as always. But if you're on the members app, YouTube, or Twitch, we have more to talk about, including the people who are most out of touch in the state of the American economy. We've got some Karens. We also have this amazing throwback that you're definitely not going to want to miss. So Brett and I are going to take just a couple minute break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back before you know it. We'll have more fun, exciting news for you. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.